My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. Young man, on the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That young man, I forgive him.
They chose the memorial today on purpose. You hear me? On purpose. Do not let anybody tell you it was a coincidence that almost 80,000 people packed the stadium on the exact day of a solar eclipse, a new moon, and Saturn at opposition. That's not random. That's staging. That's choreography. And it wasn't for you. It was for them. And here is the ugly truth. Crowds are batteries. When tens of thousands cry, chant, and sway together, you create a current. Science calls it collective effervescence. Spirit folks call it energy harvesting. I call it what I see it, sealing your grief and cashing it in. And this playbook isn't new. The Romans did it in the Colosseum, blood and bread to distract the people while the empire pulled strings behind the curtain. Televangelists do it every single Sunday, whipping a congregation into tears, then passing the plate at the peak. Even Hollywood showed you the metaphor in The Matrix. Humans strapped in as living batteries, feeding a machine that doesn't give a damn about them. Fiction? Sure, but it makes the point plain. Your energy can be drained and redirected. That's exactly what happened today. A memorial dressed up as a spectacle, tears turned into chants, destiny slipped into the mic right as the eclipse hit. While you were raw from loss, they funneled that energy straight into their machine. Donations, pledges, loyalty. The eclipse, that was the amplifier. Tie a man's death to the heavens and suddenly, it's not just a loss, it's prophecy. And if you question it, you're told you're dishonoring the dead. And that's the trick. Grief turned sacred, sacred turned untouchable, untouchable turned useful. And here is the kicker. It worked. People walked out of there buzzing. Ready to give, ready to fight, ready to defend a story somebody else scripted for them. That charge didn't fade when the lights cut off. It got banked. It'll be spent later on whatever agenda they load into it. This was not comfort. It wasn't closure. It was control. They harvested 80,000 beating hearts today and called it a memorial. So don't get played. Don't call it holy when it was a hustle. They chose that day on purpose. They chose that stadium on purpose. They used that eclipse on purpose. And unless you start naming it, they'll keep doing it. Because listen, harvesting your pain has always been the oldest con in the book. Stay awake, stay loud, and do not let them farm you like cattle.
Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. Sorry for this late episode. I wanted to see what type of foolishness they were going to pull at this funeral for Charlie Kirk. They did this on September 21st. If any of you understood what pendulum is, let me look it up real quick. Sorry. Palindrome. It's a numeric system where you can read things forward and backwards, like letters forward and backwards, such as the word race car. You can read that forwards and backwards. Tenet. You can read that forwards and backwards. That's why they came out with the movie Tenet, because on the palindrome of Satanism, that word is next to a couple other words that they have, like opera or something like that, where the letters go forward and backwards on this particular box. And Tenet is one of them. And the movie was about, I know most people couldn't follow it, but the movie was about going backwards. After going forwards is going backwards into time. Satanism. So with this date, you could go 9, subtract 21, subtract after adding 2025, which is going to end up with 9, and you subtract that, you will end up with 3. You do the same equation backwards. So 2025 added up as 9, then subtract 21, then subtract 9, you'll end up with 3 again. It's a different other way that I've also seen it too, that has a lot to do with his drink order. His mint, majesty, to honey, comes out to, in Satanism numerology, 939. If you type out the word 939 into gematrinator.com, it will come out to 666. People are not understanding the level of mathematics that's at play. This is why in Revelation, it doesn't say that the beast will come out and admit that his name was 666. We know that a man is not going to have 666 slapped across his forehead. He's not going to come out and say, hey, my name is 6. My middle name is 6. And my last name is 6. He's not going to do that. It says to do what? It says to calculate the number of the man. Calculate the number of the beast. Calculate. So Yochanan must have saw something with gematria or something with alphabets and numerology taking place in the end times. This is why the Most High is manifesting all of this numerology to us. Now, some get caught with the lower levels of it where they see 333, 444, 555, where they call them angel numbers. But you don't read anything about angels like Raphael or Michael having numbers associated with them. So I don't know where angel numbers come from, but this is the way they try to keep you in a false state of enlightenment, a false state of New Age spirituality, which isn't really New Age because they've been doing this for centuries. But we think it's New Age. And so it traps you and tries to keep you at a lower vibrational level. Maybe not as low as people who listen to, you know, the trashiest hip hop songs today, but maybe a little level above that. When people start talking about I'm going into 5D, 4D, 6D, that like different dimensions here and there, they're astral projecting and all that. It's just a level above that. That's your way out. First, you start at the lower vibrational level. Then you raise your Ruach, or you raise your observation abilities, where you observe a lot of the things, you become fully aware. Then you have the decision either to keep searching, keep going upward, or you stay at a level where it's comfortable for you. And this is a level that we are not supposed to be made comfortable. We are supposed to discomfort ourselves in order to please Yah, to please Yahusha. Now, does it come with comfort? Yes, it comes with comfort, meaning that you're not attacked by the same spiritual deities. You're not attacked by your sin. You're not attacked by the consequences of your actions. But you're comforted by the works that you do, the righteousness that you project. So in this funeral, on the date, it also was the autumn equinox. So the reason why it started at 2, because at 2:19, September 22nd is the fall equinox. They say it was between September 21st and September 22nd. They think before the new moon or on the new moon, which is the moon is completely dark. That's their new moon. But our new moon, according to Enoch 78:14, is when light is first received upon the moon. That is, which is the first day. But the world, they know the new moon as it being completely dark. So it is completely dark right now. Tomorrow, it will be the new moon. So they did all of this, like the sister said. They did all of this on purpose. State Farm Arena in Arizona lies on the 33rd parallel, which is differentiates between the northern line and the southern line. But if we're talking about latitude, it's 33. 33.528, something like that. But it's on the 33rd parallel. He's from Chicago. I don't know why he didn't have it in Chicago, but obviously they put the base there. They put Turning Point there. They picked his wife from Arizona. They did all of this ahead of time, ahead of schedule, just like they knew exactly who to get as far as George Floyd to sacrifice so they can redo the same ritual with Charlie Kirk, being they both share the same birthdays. This how far they think when they do these rituals. We think they just come up with it within a week. It don't happen that way. A lot has to go into it. You understand? People need to be lured into Freemasonry or into these occult organizations. You have to watch a person, make sure he stays in sin. Like, they had to make sure George Floyd stayed in sin. Why do you think he was around Stack, the basketball player? Which is odd that he would even be around him. Because Stack has mentioned him, his father being a Freemason. So they had to be around him to spot him out and to keep him in sin. This is why George Floyd got into porn. It's like they have to coax you into sin. This is how they set you up to make you a ritual. This is how Satan actually prowls around like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. He is not going to do it with just a nobody. He's not going to do it where you won't hear about it or it's in the dark. If Satan is going to prowl, and if he's going to choose something or choose someone, he is going to make sure you see it in front of your face. And he's going to make you attach to whatever victim that he has trodden down and made into a ritual. This is how it all plays out. This is why cleaning up your sins and cleaning up your vices is a must. And you must do it now. Because you have no idea if you're even on a track through your vice to end up not necessarily being a Masonic ritual, but just being taken out. That your final destination, that through all your slipping, your backsliding, eventually has your grace taken away from you, where you're not seeing it, where you're not seeing the abundance and blessings, and you're not seeing the grace and salvation of Yahusha and Yahuwah, that eventually you allow whatever takes your fancy, whatever takes your desires, right into Sheol with you. But the one thing I saw about this funeral, which I didn't watch it long, was just the way that Erica Kirk was acting. She had on a white blazer, black shirt, which is the same outfit she had during the wake or whatever that Turning Point PSA public service announcement was. She wore the same outfit, which is odd to me. Like, it's a funeral. Why wouldn't you wear black and then wear a white shirt underneath? But, you know, they want you to stick with the image. And they're big on color coordinating. Very big on color coordinating. It's a symbolism that they have to feed you. So once you're locked into her speech about Turning Point USA, you then are locked in because you see the same image. You've seen the same symbolism. She had dark makeup around her eyes, or her eyelashes were extra dark to make her eyes pop because she has like very bright blue eyes. It's to make her eyes pop, so you lock eyes with her. So you stare in her eyes and you don't necessarily see the way she was acting. Her acting was horrible. I mean, what you expect? Like, she was a beauty pageant contestant. I mean, they're pretty much fake and pretty much like ditzy. So her trying to pull off a remorseful, not remorseful, that's the wrong word. Trying to pull off a deep emotional moment, it's not going to come out right. She's looking up in the air, looking up in the sky, trying to throw out some tears, scrunching up her face. And then she says she forgives him. She forgives the young man that took her husband's life. Squinching her eyes, dropping her head. Like, it's like she's been taught to do this. And then when Donald Trump speaks, or after he speaks, he brings her back out again. They have the most awkwardest moment where she's holding on to him longer than he expected. And he got to give her like some attaboys, like pats on her back, pats on her arm, pulls her in close. And like, it was just an awkward moment. And then they look up in the air like, oh, Charlie sees you, or Charlie's there, or something like that, which is retarded because no one's going up there. No one's going up nowhere. And so she throws up the devil horns right in front of a stadium full of 80,000 people. She throws up the devil horns. Now, people are going to argue and say, oh, it's Helen Keller. You know, it means I love you. It doesn't mean I love Lucifer. It means I love you. And if you look up this sign on Google, if you even ask the AI to answer this for you, they're going to say, no, Helen Keller had no connection to the, you know, I love Lucifer. She meant it to be I love you. But if you actually knew what Helen Keller was into, even being blind as a bat, it will lead you to what she actually meant when she created that sign. Because Satanists use that sign, whether it be her hand is forward, whether it be backward, whether it be at you. And Anton LaVey talked at length on a TV show once about what the devil horns meant, or the sign of the horns meant. In AI, it says Helen Keller had no formal connection to or belief in theosophy. Now, hold that thought. Why it said that? It said her religious faith was firmly rooted in Swedenborgianism, also known as the New Church. Keller documented her Swedenborgian beliefs in her 1927 book, My Religion, and remained a lifelong follower, seeing Swedenborg's teachings as a complementary and expansive explanation of the Bible. There is no evidence to suggest she was a member of Theosophical Society, or that she was incorporated its tenets, there's that word again, into personal faith. But if you look up the books that she has written or co-written, one was called Light in My Darkness, which is a very Masonic phrase. So let's go to what Swedenborgianism is. Swedenborgianism, also known as the New Church, is a Christian faith based on the theological writings of Emanuel Swedenborg, an 18th century Swedish scientist, theologian, and mystic. Key beliefs include the oneness of God, seeing God as a single divine person manifested through Jesus Christ, a deeper spiritual meaning to the Bible, and the concept of afterlife as a continuation of spiritual development. There's some truth in there, but, you know, he's a mystic. You know, how much truth can he know about the Bible if he's saying he's a mystic? But this is what Swedenborgianism is. And when you look up, or let me go back to who Emanuel Swedenborg is. Emanuel Swedenborg was a Christian mystic, theologian, so forth. He has a Masonic, or he had a Masonic lodge named after him that is no longer a Masonic lodge. So most of his writings were used as a foundation of Freemasonry, though he was not a Freemason. His writings became the foundation of Freemasonry. So in AI, it says, yes, Swedenborgianism is closely connected to theosophy. See what I mean? So it depends on how you ask AI, if that's what your search engine is. It is a significant precursor and influence, particularly in the 19th century spiritual and occult movements that shaped modern theosophy, as Swedenborg's own work focused on spiritual experiences and reality of the spiritual world. Themes central to later theosophical thought, while not a form of theosophy itself, Swedenborg's teachings on the spiritual world, the inner meaning of the Bible, and the interconnectedness of mind and body lay foundational ideas for later theosophical societies and their exploration of hidden spiritual knowledge. Now, where does theosophy come from? It comes from Helena Blavatsky, who is a co-Freemason, which is a Freemasonry specifically for women. Along with Henry Olcott and William Quan Judge, she co-founded the Theosophical Society in 1875, a movement central to the spread of theosophy. Blavatsky became the leading theorist of theosophy and philosophical system that draws from Eastern religions, Babylonian, and other spiritual traditions, aiming to study hidden human powers and universal truths. She had a theosophical magazine, which was called Lucifer. It said it was designed to bring light the hidden things of darkness. The same thing Helen Keller had in her book called Light in My Darkness. So the theosophical movement, along with Emanuel Swedenborg, became the foundation of Freemasonry and the theosophical movements, which is basically another doctrine of Freemasonry or Luciferianism or Satanism. So she meant that sign exactly how she meant it. She just coded it with, oh, it meant I love you. But it's I love you, Lucifer, because that's what she was into. You would think somebody that was blind as a bat could find real truth and enlightenment somewhere else. But no, somehow she was persuaded into following, even not seeing, following, which is embarrassing enough that she can't see, that she's following a doctrine that's not the true doctrine, where she's not going to see any salvation or see any faith. So they know what they were doing when she did that. And it just goes over a lot of people's heads, because obviously if they didn't understand that the powers that be were explaining this ritual, they kept saying 33 so many times, then people are really in a state of unconsciousness, a state of stupor, or a state of psychosis. And that's because they want an image so bad. And I said this before, when it came to Hollywood and Christianity, they so desperately need an image. This is why they fell for Justin Bieber and Hillsong. This is why they fell for Kanye West. This is why they fall for Black China. This is why they fall for a lot of the celebrities that so-called say that they are Christians and that they step away from certain jobs in Hollywood because they're Christian. This is why Freemasonry and Satanism have easily intermingled themselves with Christianity, is because it's so close to paganism. And that's all these secret occult organizations are. All they're doing is revamping paganism. So you're learning about Welsh gods, like on the autumn equinox, they worship in the Welsh or Old English, they worshiped Mabon, M-A-B-O-N, which was the divine son, the divine child. And they had a Thanksgiving harvest festival for him. And it was September 21st. You know what I'm saying? So you're not even, if you are a Christian or a Catholic or whatever denomination of Christianity, you're not actually, you're not even doing your faith. Your faith is based on what is popular. And because you do not search out your faith, that's how they end up mingling it with paganism. This is how they teach in churches that the laws are done away with. Because if you believe that the laws are done away with, that means you accept more paganism that they bring into you. So people herd themselves into an arena thinking they're giving honor to this divine son. And they're actually giving honor to Welsh gods, or foreign gods, or pagan gods. It doesn't matter if they know it or not. The fact is, you're being led down that path. The Most High knows what it is. They know what they're doing when they put up these rituals, that they know what it is. They know how to funnel you into paganism and witchcraft, which is why you're going to eventually accept Luciferianism. If you're already in Christianity, you can't get out of it, or any other religion. This is why they know people are going to fall for the beast, because they're going to eventually expose to you that what you've been following is all allegory, that it's all the movements of the sun, the stars, and the zodiac signs. That's what they're going to expose themselves to you. They're going to expose that these religions don't mean nothing, because these religions aren't what we intended them to be. So we're going to expose Jesus Christ as our sun god, that he did not actually, because it's already happening online. It's already happening online in TikTok, that people are pulling apart Jesus Christ, because there is no other historical evidence to show that he even existed. And obviously not going to read the book about Yahushua, but they're looking at it as allegory. They're looking at it as a sun god, that there was no witnesses. Apart from the Bible, there is no other witnesses to say that this man existed. So right now, atheism and nihilists, like it is mentioned in Albert Pike's Three World War letter, the nihilists and the atheists are going to go hard body at Christians. And because of the time when it comes to an end, that everything starts to heat up. When everything starts to heat up, Christians are going to abandon their faith, because all you have to do is to make white Christians fall in line with this movement, with the Luciferian movement, is start attacking their sense of security. Their sense of security is in their home, and it's in their job, and it's in their bank accounts. So if they feel like they're being attacked and they lose their job, or they lose their money, and they lose their home, then the churches that they've been going to aren't going to be full. The religion that they were in, they're going to feel that it was worthless. It's when they abandon hope. When they truly abandon hope, that's when they will abandon Christianity. And a lot of people are going to show them that, oh, Christianity was false. You should be following what we were following. You should be following Luciferianism. Or we're going to be blessed because we're following Luciferianism. Hey, if you want to be saved, take this mark. You don't have to worry about being homeless. You don't have to worry about being embarrassed. And that's what the pride is going to lead a lot of people. Right now, that's why this whole Charlie Kirk situation being blown up way out of proportion. I'm talking about way out of proportion. The reason why it's doing that is to entrap Christians. It's to entrap you spiritually, emotionally, trap you. And like Sis said in the beginning of this video, they're harvesting it just so they can come back out and all that energy you feel, that patriotic energy, they are storing it. And they're going to use it against you down the line. So where you can't pull back from it. That you feel you're going to lose your way of life. And once you at the brinking point of losing your way of life, you'll accept Luciferianism. And no matter how many times you try to warn people and say, hey, this is not happening, I'm telling you, they have to go through the five stages of grief. They have to go through the five stages of grief. Right now, this is their substitute. They're going to get Erica Kirk. And they have to, of course, MK Ultra her. They got to put her through testing. They got to get ready to rear her up. Right now, this is the reason why there's other Jews sitting at Turning Point right now, taking on that podcast. That's why Candace Owens now right now has a bigger mouth. That's the destruction. They have to get ready to prepare Erica Kirk. I mean, they've been preparing her, but they have to truly prepare her to get ready to run Turning Point. Because now it's all about the woman. Like I said before, you take the man out the way, now it's about following the woman. It's about following the woman, no matter where it is. If you're the Democratic Party, you're going to be following women, Negro women. So if you're on the other side, you're going to be following the white woman. Like, you can see it the way it is. Especially when you know their religion, from darkness to light, black and white, a balance of good and evil, blah, blah, blah. Red, the right and the left paradigm, red and blue. Like, you can see it right there. You see exactly what they're doing when you step back. One of my Samoan brothers, my Samoan Akis out in Australia, mentioned that it was sad to see his cousins, his fellow people, doing the haka and to Charlie Kirk, you know, using their customs and their traditions that their ancestors have shed blood over for hundreds of years, all of a sudden become victims of this ritual. It just so shows to how powerful money is and powerful influence is when you put it on a platform. And people are not understanding that in the last days, we need to be as children. As children, And what does that mean? And I was looking at Deuteronomy. I was reading Deuteronomy, really. And just saw a verse that stuck out to me. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 39, it says, "Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." So after the Most High eradicated all of the men that transgressed in scouting out the land, he wanted to destroy them from complaining and murmuring against him so much. So that's why the 40 years in the wilderness happened, to kill off the rebels, kill off those who would transgress. So they did not find paradise. Even Moshe couldn't find paradise because of his disobedience at the water of strife, where he didn't tap the rock, he struck it. And then I go to Mattiyahu 18:3. It says, "Amen, I say unto you, except ye turn back and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So in Deuteronomy 1:39, it says, your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go into paradise and possess it. So before Eve, Chua, was being disobedient, they had no knowledge of good and evil. So they possessed paradise, the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:9 says, "And out of the ground made Yahuwah Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Huh. Why didn't Chua go for the tree of life? The Most High said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. It says in Genesis 2:17, "Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat thereof. For in that day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Why didn't she eat from the tree of life? Why don't we talk about the tree of life? There were two trees that could have been selected. She could have selected life on top of life. She was persuaded to take knowledge, which got them banished from the paradise. And Yahushua's saying, except ye turn back and become as little children, ye shall not enter into kingdom of heaven. Paul said that the Torah is not for the righteous. If we select the Torah, if we already are walking in the Torah, we aren't doing any evil because we know the Torah. We know of the disobedience which leads to evil. But if we wholly follow Yahuwah with all of our heart and with all our mind, evil doesn't even come into our thought. Doing evil doesn't come into the thought. So there is truly no knowledge of it. If we are so connected to the Father and we're so searching for Him with all of our mind, with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and we know in our heart that He does not like evil, it doesn't come into our thoughts. Adam and Eve didn't know anything about evil. They didn't know anything about disobedience. Even when they were, and Adam knew not to eat of this tree. That's it. He didn't need to know the consequences of disobeying. Just like we don't need to know the consequences of disobeying because we just wholly accept what Yah said not to do. So we don't want to know what that is like. Obviously, not being connected to Him all these years, through our upbringing, we knew all too well the knowledge of good and evil. We all know too well. We are the examples, or we are the products of Chua's disobedience. When we raise our children, Side convo, my wife is pregnant, 5 months. I'm expecting a baby boy, which is what I prayed for. When I raise this son up, he won't necessarily need to know evil because I'm going to tell him, Yah wants us to do it this way. This is what he doesn't like. And we stay away from it. He doesn't need to know what happens when we get into the evil. He doesn't need to happen when we get into transgressing. Now, mind you, will he make mistakes? Yes. Yes. But when Yahushua said we need to be as little children, that we are to wholly follow Yahuwah and not test him, that we need to be without knowledge of this world, but only knowledge of him that he is existing, you know, he has existed and brought about his creation to follow him wholeheartedly. So everybody's trying to snatch up smarts or try to outsmart Yah or trying to be smart divinely with all these different doctrines. I mean, if you actually go through theosophy and the theologians and see how closely related it is to Christianity and why in the 18th century there were so many Europeans creating doctrines and sub-doctrines and subtext and arguments and conversations, bringing about this reformation. Like, they just created confusion. They couldn't themselves even stick for one religion. It was, oh, I believe in this, but let's tweak it so we can believe in this too. Then it was another group that come up. Oh, we'll believe in what the first two groups want, but we disagree on this matter, so that's why we're going to create a different doctrine. And that's all they've been doing. They were creating doctrines for or systems of control, the systems of the matrix, to pull in different congregants, different sheep. They wanted everybody out of one doctrine. They watered down so much to snatch up something for everybody. That's Satan, to trying to spread the love all the way around, to engulf you into this system like a spider web, engulf you into one system so everybody stays together. It doesn't matter if you believe in the one little part of this person don't believe, or you don't believe in the B conversation of this person don't believe, or they don't believe in the C conversation of this person believe, but yet we'll all stick together under the one doctrine or one umbrella. And then we can just create a different doctrine or a different group out of this umbrella. But we're still going into paganism. We're still going into the oneness of Satan. This is why Yah stressed few. This is why Yahushua stressed that it was a narrow path, and few be the ones who find it. The broad way is all of these doctrines. So people are at the point they don't even know what they're worshiping, because they're trying to outsmart Yah. They're trying to outsmart God. They don't know what they're worshiping. And the powers that be, they take control of these churches. They take control of the blessings, what you believe is blessings. They just steer you into witchcraft easily, or mingle it with witchcraft. It wasn't too long ago that on TikTok there was a little wave of Christian witches. They said, oh, we're Christians, but we also are witches. And it sounded like it without judgment, without no sense of what real evil is. It's just, oh, it's good. We're not hurting anybody. It's black witches, it's white witches, it's good magic, it's bad magic. And that's how you create doctrines out of doctrines. But why we don't ever talk about the tree of life? We rather to seek being smart rather than seek life. That being as children, because children seek life. That's it. Children are not seeking to be smart. They're not seeking to win arguments. They are not seeking who can have the highest IQ score. Children are just living life, seeking life. And we are called to seek that life. I mean, because Both of those trees were pleasant to the sight, good for food. So why didn't she want to eat of the tree of life is beyond me. It was in the midst of the garden. But it was that one tree was told not to eat. That's like y'all testing. One, are we going to be obedient, disobedient, or are we going to make something a taboo? You know the thing about taboo where if you mention it so many times, eventually like, oh, I want to taste it. If you're told not to do something, the force of urge is to have you do it and then suffer the consequences, whether it be good or evil. And we are now in a point where we don't want to test y'all. Or you should be in a position where you don't want to test him. The evil doesn't come into your thoughts, regardless if you go through trials and tribulations. That being evil doesn't enter your thoughts because you know it's like a wave. Through patience and perseverance, the Most High will show up to protect you from adversity. But certain things are there to fine-tune your faith. Truly fine-tune your faith. So I know the next couple of months, they're working on another ritual to keep this energy harvesting going. Really keep it going. And of course, tomorrow is supposed to be the day of the rapture. Now, in movies, someone pointed out multiple examples of September 23rd being a specific date where something is going to happen. It didn't say necessarily Antichrist in movies. It was just saying like this day, and they keep repeating 9/23, 2/39, or 9/32, wherever it was, backwards and forwards. That's what they were doing. So right now, Christians are getting ready to prepare for pre-tribulation rapture. And people who have big platforms have already said, God has sent me, or the Lord has sent me a divine dream. It says to prepare, and he'd be like, take it however you want to take it. Take what you will. He kept saying, like, there's one brother that had this conversation. His TikTok is Trade Disciple, TREADISIPLE. And he was talking about the rapture. He kept saying the rapture is near. Jesus is coming soon. Rapture has been shown for us, the number 23, and he used Jim Carrey's movie, the number 23. And he has like 31,000 people following. And about 700,000 people who watched that rapture video. So when September 20, where tomorrow comes, and ain't nobody being raptured, everybody's going to look stupid. People who keep saying like, oh yeah, the rapture's coming. This one woman was like, oh, you know, when you get raptured, don't look down, because we can learn that from Lot's wife. It's like, now they're doing pre-tribulation rapture tips when you get called up. Now, could something happen? I don't know. I would love to see it. They have like Charlie Kirk walk out of his grave because he's been dead for what, 2 or 3 days or 4 days, to have him walk out and fool everybody. That would be hilarious, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know why people don't connect. I don't know why people really don't connect Freemasonry, or especially you Negroes, connect Freemasonry to the Klan and other things. So that's why people are like, oh, Charlie Kirk is not racist. You just didn't like what he had to say. He spoke the truth. But if you are a Freemason, you know where that connects to? It connects to other Freemasons. Regardless if they be good or evil, you still connected to them. What's that word that the movie, The Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri? If you haven't seen that movie, I see that movie. It's done really well. But in the movie, she was talking about the priest being culpable, which means she used the metaphor, or she used the example of when Crips or Bloods in LA during gang violence, the RICO statute came out and said that if you happen to stand on the corner doing nothing, but you're dressed as a gang member, they have the ability to arrest you, regardless of what happened. So if you are part of an organization, and that organization is known for murder, stealing, racketeering, extortion, that means that those charges work the same on you because you are part of this organization. And she said that the priests are culpable because regardless if a priest is upstairs reading his Bible, not doing anything, and then there's another priest downstairs sodomizing an altar boy, you are guilty just like that priest is guilty that's sodomizing a child. So when it comes to Freemasonry, whether it be Black Freemasonry or White Freemasonry, it's connected all through the same organization. If you look up the original Klansman outfit, I mean the original Klansman outfit, I'm talking about if you look up R.J. Brunson, age 82 from Pulaski, Tennessee, if you look up that outfit, the very first Klans outfit, it looked like Santa Claus, to tell you the truth. It looked like a Santa Claus baseball outfit that you would sleep in the bed at night with. I mean, it's a two-tone cap, like a dunce hat. It looks like that, but it was like connected to a mask. And there's a star with the crescent moon over top. Now, where does the crescent moon come from? It comes from William Joseph Simmons, the founder of the second Ku Klux Klan, who was a Freemason. His background, experience, and multiple fraternal organizations directly influenced his creation of the revived KKK. And he wrote the Quran, which is a play off of the Quran. So you see KKK revamp itself through different symbolism, because obviously they went from the star and crescent moon into being burning of the cross. So they went from fake Muslims or fake Islam into Christians or Christianity. And you have to understand where that comes from. It's all connected. And I looked at Deuteronomy 4, 19 and 20. It says, lest you lift up your eyes unto the heavens, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which Yahuwah Elohaka has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Now, this particular phrase, when it says, which Yahuwah Elohaka has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven, did he mean divide mean I was going to allow or send spirits to have people in other nations outside of Yasharel to worship these deities, the sun, the moon, and stars? Because if you look at the quote-unquote Abrahamic religions, it's nothing but the worship of stars. Jesus Christ created in the 300 AD by the Roman Empire is a sun god, which is why when you see pictures of Jesus in the earlier illustrations of him, he was a European sun god with a sun disk behind him, which is why they placed his birthday on December 25th before the winter solstice. If you look at Judaism, which is the star of Rifron or the star of Shaun, that is a star. If you look at the moon, Islam, before it ever became what it became, it was the phases of the moon or the triple goddess worship, which was the maiden, the crone, and the mother. It was literally the three phases of the moon. It was the full moon and then the waning and waxing crescents, I think, something like that. But that's what it was, like the bat box in the middle of the desert, and it has that thing where they touch and kiss it, the silver thing, the silver opening. That is what they call the yoni, because it was first the mother goddess worship, because obviously they made the yoni, and the yoni is the vagina. Just like if you look at the Vatican is a yoni. It's a vagina. It's in the shape of, and that's why they have the obelisk in the middle of the yoni, or the shivalingam. That's why I have the male phallic in that region, in the middle of the yoni. Vagina. So it says, which Yahuwah has divided unto all nations under heaven, but Yahuwah has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Mitzrayim, to be unto him a people of inheritance as ye are this day. So he's saying, do not worship the sun and the moon and the stars like these other nations, which I have divided up against them for them to do, that I don't want you to do it. So I don't understand how people, especially Negroes, still connect themselves through Christianity or Freemasonry. Because if the Klan has been able to do it, that means they are the nations that have been given over to these spirits. And then obviously, in 1922 to 1939, Simmons was forced out by a guy named Hiram Wesley, and he was a Freemason. And the hilarious part of this, they were Christians, and one of them was a pastor. So why would you want to be connected to this type of foolishness? Why do you want to be connected to them? This way, this pure way that the Most High has given us through his son, Yahushua, where he says that the doctrine is not mine, but it is his who sent me. The Most High didn't create these doctrines or these stars for them to be worshipped. And yet, man, what Prince Mastema has said, and I think Jasher Jubilees, I want to say Jasher, that he said that the hearts of men are wicked. Leave me a number of fallen angels, or leave me a number of spirits for me to lead astray these men, because their hearts are wicked from birth. There was wickedness in them. So in order for the transatlantic slave to happen, the Arab slave trade to happen, the Most High had to give a portion of descent, a portion of inhabitants of this world over to these doctrines in order for us to go in and out of slavery, in order to be right here where we're at, understanding his truth, understanding his gospel, and understanding true repentance and coming back to his law, statutes, commandments. It is the Most High show. The more I read, the more I understand it. It is the Most High show. And the reason why you really don't hate your enemies, because they are all attached or selected to be attached to these particular type of doctrines and this particular type of paganism. You almost got to feel, the more you know, you just stop hating your enemy and you start feeling sorry for him. Truly you do. Because the enemy has nothing to do with us outside of us trying to follow what the Most High told us to follow. That is our real enemy is with ourselves. We are the weapons that are formed against us. There is no weapons out there that's prospering against us right now. If you're truly walking in the Ruach, we are the weapons that formed against us. Because it's we, through our pride and ego, choose to do things outside of Yah and Yahushua. And we suffer the consequences. Once we give up our own way and be as little children, not knowing the way, but relying on the parents, relying on the father to direct us, that is when we will know true paradise, true peace, and true rest. I'll see y'all next time.